Before we begin our Torah study, let's pray together. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kidshenu B'Mitzvata V'Tzivanu La'Asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, we've all been assessing the situation with the hurricane, and every one of us, I think, has been impacted. The entire state, every county was affected. And even though we had moments when we were relieved because it looked like the hurricane was going one way or another that would minimize impact on us and others, in fact, Jacksonville really was hit quite hard. And the storms, the flooding that came were exceptional and historic. As I understand it, we had flooding that was the greatest since records have been kept. And if you had power on and you were watching TV, you were seeing incredible images of the flooding in the downtown area of Jacksonville. And also in areas like creeks that became rivers, and parks that became lakes. So we've seen just this unusual flooding in our area, and as well in Jacksonville, because we have the beaches, many people were affected. Those who have houses or apartments on the beach, some of them had major losses with buildings coming down and great destruction. And as well, there's been a lot of damage to the trees in Jacksonville, like we experienced at Matthew, but in certain neighborhoods even worse. In our area in Mandarin, it's considerably worse, I think, than it was for Matthew. And majestic oaks, 40, 50 feet high, some even larger, some 50, 60, 80 years old, have toppled over and are just lying on their side, and it looks like incredible destruction in those areas. So we're praying for all those who have suffered losses. We're praying for those who cannot yet begin the cleanup because it has not gotten to a safe place or a place where they can get cleanup crews and skilled laborers in to do the work. So keep your hearts open, but at the same time, you know what? We want to give thanks to the Lord because we're here and we're alive and we've been spared incredible loss that could have occurred. And I don't want to minimize the loss that has been experienced, but I know this, that when you go through a difficulty, when you go through an extreme threat, when you experience something that's very dangerous and you make it through, it's time to give thanks to God. To say to God, we made it through. Now, some people get stuck on this question, you know, why? How could this possibly happen? And I want to tell you, as you know, this world is a broken world. It's not a perfected world. And what we yearn for we do not yet have. And so there will be suffering, there will be loss. And you know that the hardest thing for Yeshua's disciples to accept were his words that he himself would suffer. And they thought if he is the king, if he really is King Mashiach, then he will be victorious over all problems and all suffering, and actually that he won't have to experience that kind of suffering. You remember the famous words of Yeshua to Peter when he was arguing this way. And Yeshua said to Peter, get behind me, Hasatan. Get behind me, you adversary. And it's unclear whether Yeshua was speaking to Peter or just at Peter. But the position Peter had taken was not truth. It wasn't reality. And the Lord tells us the truth. He tells us, in this world, you will have troubles. And you can confirm it, can't you? In this world, we do have troubles. So the sooner we accept that this world that we're living in is broken and that we yearn for the world to come, but we don't have it, then we can put away a lot of questions that can torment us. And we will find that we don't get trapped by these dark questions like who sinned or who failed. Remember, Yeshua was asked questions like, what about this blind man? You know, was he the one who sinned or was it his parents? And Yeshua basically said, you're asking the wrong questions. It's not like that in this world. Don't try to find who's the guilty party. Remember this, when God shows his mercy, it brings glory to the Lord. And when there's a healing, when there's compassion that's released, it reveals the mercy of God. Keep that in mind. And there's that long theme of instruction in the scriptures that when you receive comfort and you receive mercy in your own life, it enables you to show mercy and to show comfort to other people who are going through difficulty. So you become an agent who can impact other people and show other people the love of God through their difficulty. So that's the way the real world works, and if you wish it were different, I can tell you this, it will be after you die. Later. In the world to come, but not in this current world. Well, as I was preparing for this week and for what to speak on from the scriptures, there was something stirring in me. It's a traditional Jewish prayer called Birkat HaGomel. It's the thanksgiving for having been delivered through a difficulty or through a life-threatening situation. And that was stirring in me, and I just, no matter what else I was thinking about, I thought we need to pray that together, to give thanks to the Lord. And then I was reading the Haftorah portion this week, and I want to ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 63 in the Haftorah portion, the verses starting in 7 and going through 9. So Isaiah 63, verses 7 through 9. And in this passage, I found such comfort. Now, I like you, experienced a lot of stress during the storm. How many of you participated in that great hurricane activity called stress eating? I heard from some folks who said, you know, we've eaten everything in the house already. All the good snacks are gone, and the stores are closed, and we didn't think this through, and now what are we going to do with the kids? It's like, you know, that's what neighbors are for. Go next door and get their food. Ask for help. I even participated in what I call stress texting. Do you know what that is? That's where you can't stop texting people because you're just trying to use that nervous energy that you have. And the other day, I was doing something to discharge my nervous energy. I was cleaning up the biggest branches that had fallen out of trees in my yard. And I had a guy who was coming later in the day to work on it, but I couldn't wait for him. And so I spent a lot of sweat and agony dragging and hauling these heavy branches and getting sweaty and exhausted. And I thought, you know what? When the guy comes, he's going to be grateful because I did some of the heavy lifting for him. And the guy who does this work, he's a great guy, and he's from Cuba. And he thinks hurricanes are part of everyday life, and he doesn't understand why Floridians get nervous about hurricanes. However, I thought, you know, he will appreciate that I carried this, you know, monster load of branches. And he looked at me, he said, why'd you do it like that? I tie a rope around them and I pull them with my machine. And it takes like 5 minutes. And he's a professional, I thought. Okay. So I get no brownie points even for doing that. And I just looked at him and I said, I thought you would be grateful. And he said, I don't know why you did it. And the real reason was I had stress energy. I had to be productive. I had to do something. And so I think all of you can identify with that, doing certain things just because you've got this nervous energy that accumulates. And so while that was all accumulating, I was still praying like, Lord, what to do? And I felt the Lord was saying, cast your worries on me. And I've got a 40 or 50 foot oak that's leaning over. And it could land on my house. It's being held up by another oak. And I was thinking, you know, it's a big worry right now. And it could take down the oak that's holding it up and hit my house and the house next door. And of course, you know, the tree service people and the insurance people are saying, call us when it falls. But the insurance company, you know, only if it falls on your house, because then it's, you know, it's our problem. Otherwise, it's your problem. And so I've got all this nervous energy, and the Lord's saying, cast your worries upon me. And I'm like you. I said, and then what? And it wasn't out of unbelief. It was out of that tension that rises up in us that can befuddle us and compromise us. Or as we like to say in the South, discombobulate us. Does anybody in the North even use that word? Yeah, in California. I know Foghorn Leghorn likes that word. But. So I was discombobulated. I don't think I've ever used that, you know, from the pulpit. I like using it. I had to work it in because I was using it all week. But I just said to the Lord, okay, I cast my anxiety on you, and then what? And He spoke to my heart and He said, and then you won't have the burden of it. And there was a part of me that didn't believe it, but the rest of me, of course, knows it's true. And so I decided I would do it, and you know what? It started lifting off and it became very personal. So I can assure you of this. Don't hold on to all the worries. Even when you think that it's your obligation to worry, I can tell you this, when you cast those worries upon the Lord, He freely takes them and then He helps you with the real situation. Now, to make it really personal for me, and I hope for you, He brought me to these few verses in Isaiah 63. Of all the things that we're reading this week, these verses got my attention. And verse 7 says this, I will recall the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of Adonai. I will recall them. I will think about them. I will remember them. I will bring them to my mind because of all that Adonai has granted us and His great goodness. Now, here's the very personal part. What does your translation say? His great goodness toward the house of Israel. Yeah, some English translations only say toward Israel. But you know what it says in Hebrew? Yeah. Lebet Israel. To Beth Israel. And I read this. It's like, that's getting personal. Now, I don't want to just read things into the text. I'm trying to take things from the text. And I thought, here it is. You don't need Bible code stuff. Here it's like really personal because of His great goodness to Beth Israel, which is what the text actually says, to the house of Israel, to Beth Israel. And so when I read that, I thought, okay, I'm feeling better, Lord, because I'm thinking about Your great goodness to me, to all of us, to the congregation together, and I'm taking it personal. And then it says, which He bestowed on them in keeping with His mercy. And the vocabulary of this passage is the basis of Birkat HaGomel. And it just sort of worked its way not only into my mind from the text, but into my spirit, which he bestowed on them in keeping with his mercy, in keeping with the greatness of his compassion. For he said, they are indeed my people, children who are not disloyal. And so he became their savior. Look at this in verse 9. In all their troubles, he was troubled. You see, he's not indifferent. He's not detached. He's not unemotional. In our troubles, he's troubled. When he sees us in trouble, he feels it. Now, he may not feel it with the same anxiety we feel, but he does with the same heart. And it makes it clear. In all their troubles, he was troubled, and then the angel of his presence saved them. In his love, and this next word is a rare word in the Hebrew, and so I just want to use a more expanded translation than what I saw in English. In his love and compassionate empathy. Say that phrase with me. Compassionate empathy, he redeemed them. Compassionate empathy. You see, that's what this passage is describing, that we can give thanks to God because he looks on us in our troubles and he feels compassionate empathy. He feels the trouble we feel. He's not indifferent. He's not saying, yeah, it's your fault, it's your problem. He's not trying to lay blame. He becomes our redeemer in those situations. And what is the redeemer? The redeemer is that kinsman who has the means to pay the price to rescue us and deliver us when we can't rescue or deliver ourselves. When we don't have the resources, we don't have the means, we don't have the spiritual righteousness, we don't have the authority, we don't have what it takes to accomplish our own rescue. But the kinsman redeemer looks upon the one in trouble as his kinfolk, as his relatives, as his family, and says, I'll pay whatever it takes for them. That's the Lord's attitude. What kindness he shows to us. What mercy he shows to us. So as I was reading this, it got my attention so deeply, and it caused the weight, the heaviness, to just lift off. And I became not lighthearted, something else. I became more trusting of him and his kindness. And I knew this, as he was showing himself trustworthy in this way, not only could I trust him, but I could receive strength from him. I could receive encouragement from him. I could receive provision from him that then could be used not just for myself, but for the benefit of others. And so with that in mind, there's a traditional Hebrew prayer of thanksgiving, Birkat HaGomel, and it's a prayer of thanksgiving for his kindness and for his deliverance. It's often said by those who have escaped through some great danger. It's said by women after they have childbirth and survive all the dangers of childbirth and under other circumstances. But what I understand is when we have gone through a harrowing situation, when we've gone through a difficulty, and we catch our breath, there's a moment when we should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for preserving me. Thank you for protecting me. And instead of looking just at the loss that we've experienced, we understand this, we are alive. And there's still a future ahead for us. The loss, in a sense, represents the losses of the past, things that we've spent money on, things that we've accumulated, things that we've had. Okay, maybe we don't have them anymore. And maybe we have to dedicate some resources, but you know what? We have the future ahead of us. And the Lord says, I know the plans and the future I have for you, plans for good and a plan for hope as well. So I'm going to call out these words in Hebrew, which are all good words, and then I'll call out the translation. And I'd ask you just to do something, that's to stand up. And if you're here with your family, you know, stand together and take this to heart. And I want you to repeat after me these Hebrew words and then these English words. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Hagomel lechayavim tovot, Shegbalani koltov. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who rewards the undeserving sinner with goodness and has granted me all goodness. Lord, we thank you that you have rewarded us, undeserving sinners, with goodness. We thank you, Lord. From the depths of our heart, we say we are grateful, Lord, that you have saved us and protected us. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your empathy. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for the revelation of your goodness now and in the future. Thank you, Lord, that you show your loving kindness to us individually, to our families, to this congregation, to our city, and to others all around us. And let it be, Lord, that that fills our heart with comfort, with compassion, with mercy and goodness, that we would show the same to others around us. Let it be, Lord, that the comfort that we receive becomes the comfort that we give to others. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So we're going to close right now the service. I want to encourage you, tell each other your stories. Tomorrow we're having a special oneg. We're having a bagel oneg after our Shabbat service. And we're going to take time to fellowship and connect with each other and eat. That's always a good way to have more fellowship. And we'll have bagels and cream cheese and the congregational favorite, cinnamon raisin bagels. They go further. They're the most popular. They're really good after a long sermon. Yeah. So now let's close with Aaron's blessing. And if you're standing by yourself, if you don't mind, just moving a little bit so you're not alone. And encourage each other. Don't hide away. Don't be at a loss all by yourself. Encourage one another. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.